Yes.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Mahogany. Welcome to the Holly Show STL.
Thank you, love, for having me. It's so good to be down here with you.
Thank you. It's from my city to yours. And I just wanted to tell you, we had an interesting setting up, but I'm happy we're able to get together. And I'm just so excited to have you on the show today. It's a very special show, I think, for us. And I'm just so excited to have you on.
Absolutely. I'm so happy to be on. This is just like really good old girlfriends. Just like getting back together and catching each other up on our life.
Yes. And it seems like it was just like really yesterday when I met you. And I feel like, really, I feel like I was in my early 20s, and you might have been, I want to say, I don't even think, were you in your 20s yet?
Yeah, I was. So I was, when we first started working together, I was 19.
Wow.
Yes, yep. I was 19.
That's crazy. And we're not going to tell the people what age we're in now because we don't look it, number one. But that's
right,
that's
we
crazy.
Don't.
So this has been a while. So just jumping right in, for my listeners that's listening to the Holly Show STL, I wanted to invite you on to talk about some different things that you got going on in your life. And we have a special topic today. And I'm just so excited that you were able to, you know, trust me and come on the show and be able to talk about some different things. And it's just really good hearing from you. And we can get right on to it if you're ready.
I am ready. Let's
do
it,
girl. All right. So again, welcome to the Holly Show. In this portion of the show, I like for my listeners to kind of know some things about you. And if you would like, you can go ahead and take it from there. Tell us again who you are, what you're representing today, what we'll be discussing on the show, where you're from, and we can get right on into it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Holly girl. So I go by Mahogany, like Miss Holly said. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from Chicago, woo-hoo, Illinois, Evanston, Illinois, uh-huh, really. But I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and I had definitely some very interesting experiences, mm-hmm, during that time. I identify as a deeply melanated woman of the trans experience, mm-hmm, and I'm telling you, so many different things has come to pass since I left St. Louis. And it just goes to show you what removing yourself from your everyday normal condition, mm-hmm, environment will do for the soul. Ooh,
I can't wait for it's my turn. I can't wait. Because like I said, growing up in St. Louis, or, you know, residing here, like you said, you were here in your teens and maybe earlier before then. And, you know, me, I grew up here all my life. So it's always interesting to see how people can start here, but then you can bloom and just blossom somewhere else. And sometimes we do need that. Like, I'm waiting on my time. Mm-hmm. Like, I do get to travel and visit other places, but I feel like it's time to move on, you know, very soon. And I see that you left us.
Yes, I have. Now? Girl, I had to get the hell out of Dodge, girl. I had to go. I'm telling you, I felt the entire time I was in St. Louis, I felt like I was just fighting to leave, to go somewhere. Uh-huh. At first, I thought I would end up in Florida just because I love, you know, the tropical, uh-huh, weather and the people. It's just so many different types of Caribbean folk down, mm-hmm, there. And, you know, like, that's my family's, yes, background. It's from Haiti. So it's just, that's like what I've always been drawn to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if it wasn't for their shitty bullshit politics, child, probably would have ended up down there. But
yeah,
a little bit too conservative for my
right. And right now you're in California, right?
Yes, I am in Northern, uh-huh, California, just outside of, ooh, Napa.
The well. And you know, just hopping into it, we can go ahead and get in. Today I brought you onto the show due to I have known you forever. And I was just, again, so excited when you hit me up a few days ago to talk about what's new with you. And I know you have been on quite the journey in life. And today's show is on a more touchier subject. I will say, as we open up the dialogue of discussing being a trans woman in America, not just a trans woman in America, but a trans Black woman in America.
Yes, ma'am. To the listeners, there is a distinction.
Yes, and to the listeners that are listening, can you tell them exactly what a trans woman is? I know it's 2020, of course, everyone knows, but if you can give them kind of a, for the people who really just, they're still kind of lost, they don't know what exactly a trans woman is, could you kind of give us a bit more?
Absolutely, you know, because language is a very important piece. It allows for us to identify each other and to connect with each other's experiences. And, you know, it's how we translate our history. So yes, being a transgender woman to me and to many people means that they, you know, were born male, male sex, with male sex organs or variant, right? And they inherently just deeply feel within them and believe and is and are convicted that they have more of a feminine energy and more of a feminine spirit within them. And so everyone's presentation of that is different, and it should not be compared or contrasted, but for me, that manifested into me being a physically, you know, visually just all woman, you know.
Gorgeous at that. Don't forget that part. Because if I could just cut in, when I first met you, like I said, I was about, like I said, you said you was about 19. So yes. I had to be in my early 20s. And of course, when I first, you guys, when I first met Mahogany, it was so fun because we were in a job interview. We worked at a Radio Shack back in the day. We were young women. And I never forget, I saw her. And I'm sitting looking at her, and I was looking at her just so deeply. I never forget, and she came in, she had this long, just this long red hair just out her scalp. No weave. It was just out of her scalp, and she looked a lot like the young lady from the Bernie Mac show. And I kept saying, she looks like the lady from the Bernie Mac show. And I think I called you that for most of the time I knew you. I think once a week I was like, you just look like her from the Bernie Mac show. But just to say, like, how yes, beautiful girl. You were. Your skin was perfect. Your hair was flawless. I mean, and it was just the truth. You was just a pretty girl. So that was just the thing for me. You know, I'm a, you know, I'm born female. Of course, I know other females. But for me, I felt like you, I wouldn't have been able to know any different from you if you had never told or anything, because I just knew, I was like, she's a really pretty girl. In fact, she's too pretty. What's the fact?
What's the girl? What's the tea with that girl?
What's the tea? But you have continued to bloom and still become, like you said, physically, you are a gorgeous woman. So it's just interesting, you know, because we're living in the times now, during, I don't think even back during that time, it was an open door, you know, to express about trans women or anyone that was going through like transgender anything, you know, it wasn't open like how it is now.
Honey. It's very hush-hush. It's
funny how that wasn't too long ago, but it still wasn't the open door. Right now, I work for a company where we do see, I work for a company where the kids were going through it, you know, changing. And then, of course, as adulthood, we have a beautiful program at my job that I work at now. And I'm telling you, it's just to see, it was not this open, not even that long ago. And that was a while ago. I know it was.
Yes, we've made progress. That is for sure. We've made progress. We have not arrived. But
it's come a very long way.
Yes, it has come a long way.
To jump into it, when did you decide to go through your journey into becoming a trans woman? And how was the experience for you? Like I said, again, I met you when you were 19, and you very much so was a beautiful young woman then. But when was your time that you thought, you know, hey, this is what I want to do with my life?
Yeah, so I would say like between like 15 and 17 is when I really started understanding how I was feeling inside, because for a long time I was just really upset and angry, and I didn't really know why I was so mad, you know. But by being able to be exposed to an environment and a program, mm-hmm. the name of this program that I was a part of as a teen, mm-hmm. was called, I was a part of a couple of different programs, mm-hmm. but this one that I'm speaking about in general was for basically for students in high school to be connected with students from other high schools in the area. This retreat per se for like, mm-hmm. 7 days, and learning about all of the different isms that exist within our culture, racism, classism, genderism, sexism, ageism, you name it, and being able to learn that language and that terminology to identify with the feelings that you're feeling was very powerful for me. And so I left that program with a new sense of identity, uh-huh. and I just kind of took that girl and ran with it. So I started my transition when I was about 16 years old. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started taking female hormones. Mm-hmm. And from there, I just kind of continued to develop. And when I started working with you at Radio Shack, I had actually come back from Chicago. I was going to school up there for a little, mm-hmm. short of a year. And girl, I'm a heartbroken girl. Fell in love with this
mm-hmm.
and got heartbroken, and I left from Chicago, moved back to St. Louis, and at that point I wasn't in school and I wasn't getting no money, girl. I had to get a coin, and so I applied for Radio Shack.
Yes. And you got all the coins at work, you guys. She got every coin that we didn't. Yes, I remember. You was a hard worker too. And all I could remember, I'm like, this girl, you reminded me of a Valley girl. Because, look, I came from the city. I went to inner city high schools, but I did go to county schools. But you gave me this persona of like a Beverly Hills Valley girl dipped in chocolate. And I was like, this is something. Like, everything was just so fabulous. Everything was just so perfect. Everything was just like, she's like a rich girl that's coming here to work. I don't even think she needs it.
Oh my God.
That's how I used to look at it. But it's just so funny to hear your story now, because of course you wouldn't know, but I just knew. I said, you had it all together. And even you were younger than me. You were just on it. You was on point.
Girl, I have to be, or I would get clocked. Girl, I didn't want nobody to clock me and read me, you know, to be like, is this really a man? Like, you know, parading around.
And you would, I'm telling you, no one ever thought anything.
Girl,
no
so that's one. Not true though. That's not true. Even though like people didn't know, I found, mm-hmm. out later that there were secret conversations, girl. They was having secret conversations.
Mm-hmm. But then they never came to you to, you know, bring it up or, you know.
Nah, they wasn't bad enough for that. They wasn't bad enough for that. Most people aren't. Girl, they have these secret conversations behind your back and they never want to like come out with it, when really, mm-hmm. They should come out with it, but just in a respectful way to be like, hey, like, you know, I noticed some things about you and I just want to learn more about your experience.
Uh-huh.
I want to learn more about you. Tell me about what makes you inherently you, right?
And who you are.
Right, because
But you know what? That would be, I think that would have been an uncomfortable, because I'm not even going to stunt. You want my honest truth today? Honest truth is, like I said, you were just too perfect. You were too perfect, but then I think, but me and you actually had a conversation at one point in time. It wasn't earlier of us knowing each other. It was way, I think, I want to say it came out because for a year or so, me and you had a conversation one time, and I think you kind of told me, but that's about it.
Girl, I think I probably soft came out.
I think you did, and I remember, but I mean, that was your business and my business, like, I felt that I was blessed that you told me. It wasn't my business to know, but it's just the point. You, at one point, me and you did have a soft conversation about it, you know, and
yeah.
And if people, mm-hmm. were in your business, they never came to you. I know me and you did have one, because I felt like we was the girly girls of the place anyway. We had other
Absolutely,
people,
girl.
So me and you would have been closer anyway, because we worked with a lot of men. We were the only two girls.
Yeah, we did. We were the only two.
Yep.
We're the only two girls there. We're the only two chocolate beauties, yep. might I add.
fighting over who getting phones, and she was winning. Like, you was just, I like, to this day, I just think it's so funny, because as we fast forward to this conversation today, I don't care what life is, I always remember you as being, you was just so pretty. So I can tell you, you're pretty.
Y'all. Same with you. I always thought that you were just drop dead gorgeous. And that's the thing that I think we saw mm-hmm. in each other, because we had this studied femininity mm-hmm. about us. You know, we owned mm-hmm. our femininity. We loved being the chocolate goddess that we were.
Yes. And
yes, and girly. And let's keep it all the way real with the people. The 80% of the business that they got at that were from men. Yep. Because of us coming in to see us, and we making them spend their dollars.
You had receipts. I'd be like, Mahogany, how many did you ring out, baby? That was 12 phones.
Yeah, that's right. I did. Look, and I did that by 1 p.m.
Yep. So as we kind of talk about it, like I mentioned, you were able to even confide to me at one point in time. It wasn't earlier in us meeting each other, of course, but due to we did spend a lot of time, I think, more together than we wasn't, you were able to kind of get some type of, I want to say it could be like a support system, because it's something to have something and you can't share or tell anybody. And that's a hard, I think, place to be for anybody with anything. So as I get into the next question, I kind of wanted to talk about the support system in the queer trans community. I felt like at a time we didn't see many people, of course, supporting when one had decided to make life choices, as we see in the media today. But now we have younger babies coming out. For an example, we have the athlete D-Wade with his daughter Zaya, who's at a very young age, who has decided that she wanted to make that change. How do you feel?
Can we just give some snaps for Zaya? I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. So I have to ask this question, because I think on Facebook, I made my comment and piece on it I looked at it from an adult stance. Mm-hmm. When I say adult stance, I figured, like, when I asked you the question, when did you get into figuring out that you wanted to, you know, change your life? Mm-hmm. As a young kid, like 10, 11, you know, I feel like my mom didn't give me options in life to be able to do what I wanted to do, you know, but I'm looking at now, like something as big as this being the athlete, and this is not the only athlete child that has changed their life. We had Magic Johnson, you know, with his child.
Exactly.
And now we have Zaya, who's been very celebrated, and the people have their pros and cons to it. I wanted to get your opinion on it, being because you are in the community and being that you are an adult in the community. But when you started, you were more, I want to say, at an age where I think you could make a choice like that. How do you feel about Zaya coming into this as a younger kid than her doing this when she was of age at 18 to be able to say, hey, I fully want to do this?
So, okay, here is the big difference between my story and Zaya's mm-hmm. story. So, for the only reason, because I've always felt this way, like, even from as early as the age of me being able to understand that I was in consciousness, mm-hmm. you know, I've always felt like I was just more feminine, mm-hmm. and I was more attracted to femininity, and that's just how I've always mm-hmm. been. But I did not learn the language, because it's really important that, again, we have the language. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the language until that time in my life when I was 15, 16, 17. Mm-hmm. That's when I learned the language for what I was feeling. But see, the kids now,
they
honey,
are into it.
They got the language early.
They have programs. They have the language early. You mentioned something about a retreat. Right now, there are programs. I worked for a child psychiatry office at one point in my life. I saw a lot of young babies coming in that they were ready to make that change. And it was just different because, like I said, for the everyday people that don't have a job like that, they don't see it. So they're wondering, like, everyday people that's looking in, how is this happening? How is this kid able to do this? And I just felt on my end, and me and this lady was going back and forth, Mahogany, back and forth. And I stood on my end because I felt like she was just too young to make that decision. But like you said, mm-hmm. I wanted to get your opinion because you are in that community. And how did you feel? Like, is this okay for her to do it? Or do you support her? Or do you wish maybe she could have waited a few more years? Or does it even matter at this point?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. And I'm glad that you asked me this, because this is something that we've talked about it in our household too. Even my partner. I mean, like, you know, we all have differences in opinions, mm-hmm. right? Especially those who are outside of this experience of being a transgender person. You are trying to understand how that person's feeling. Mm-hmm. You just know how you feel. Mm-hmm. And you know that you didn't feel this way, or you don't feel that mm-hmm. way. And so you have to connect with their experience to even understand why they would want to even go through that type of process. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is. And the thing is what exactly is this baby doing other than being allowed to express themselves mm-hmm. for who they are? They're not making, you know, to my knowledge, they're not making any physical changes to their body. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if they're on any type of hormones or mm-hmm. not, but Zaya is just being who she is. And she's just come out to the world and say that, hey, I want to be known as Zaya. I go by she, her pronouns, period. That's it. Yeah. Is, I mean, that's just giving somebody respect of how they want to be identified. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is ABCs, folks. If you don't get it, climb up out your hole. Go talk to somebody that you don't, maybe you wouldn't have never talked to before. Yeah. Learn about their experience. Travel. Go to some places. Experience some different cultures outside of your norm, and maybe you'll understand.
Ooh, could we get some snaps?
Oh, hold on. Okay.
So thank you. Yeah, that's what I wanted. And like I said, by this being a podcast show, and to the listeners that are listening, you got people that has all types of views on everything. And that's why I love getting
girl. They got too many, girl.
Every week. And like I said, let me tell you, Mahogany, if you weren't on my Facebook that day, I think it did numbers. And I only stood on it if I had a kid, this is just me. If I had a child and they wanted to do something like that, I feel like at a certain age, the maturity level, I would think, but then again, you kind of explained that, meaning if that's how they're feeling in the inside, you know, you can't change that. And you can't force how you feel on somebody else. You know, just like anybody else, you can't tell me what I can't like, because I'm going to look at you like, no, that's not how it works. I'm going to deal with who I want, you know. So
yes.
I just wanted to get the listeners, and I wanted to really get somebody, like I said, we're outside looking in. So when you're in the community of it, you know how that person may even feel. And as a young person, luckily she has a support system like D Wade and Gabrielle Union and her big brother.
Claps for them.
You know, and there's a lot of people, and a lot of people still won't understand. A lot of people still won't get it either. But to each his own opinion, we're all living our own lives at the end of the day. What should matter most is what you do in your home. Do what's for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? If some more people within their households would operate under the same structure and under the same ideas of love, respect, girl, what am I trying to say? Love, respect, mm-hmm. and just general support of an individual, of a human being. That's all that Dwayne and Gabby are doing, mm-hmm. is supporting their child, mm-hmm. loving their child, accepting that their child for who she mm-hmm. is. And that's it.
Just like any parent would do for their kid who played basketball, or any person or parent that had a kid that's wanted to cheerlead. You're just supporting your child.
Yes, ma'am. Moment.
And your parent, if you got real parents and support team, they're going to support you no matter what you're doing. No, despite the world, because the world is an evil, evil place. It don't even matter no more. We're living in a system that we're going to get into the next question. The system that we're living in is so just unfair for anyone. Nobody is safe at this moment. And I kind of wanted to get into...
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
And I kind of wanted to get into this day and age. We are living with so much that's going on in the world, as we have seen so much injustice going on in the Black community. Do you feel the same stressors as being a Black trans woman in 2020? And how do you think in the trans community you feel that it can be overlooked, and that you can feel at times, even still being Black, the Black community isn't always receptive?
So my feelings behind that is just the fact it's really a shame. It's a shame that we still in 2020 can't come together as a community mm-hmm. and support each other. They always want to say, ooh, the gays do this, mm-hmm. and the gays this, and, you know, mm-hmm. all of this. What T.I. even said it when he was on, I believe, Ricky Smiling Morning Show. Mm-hmm. You can say what you want about the gays, but they support each other, uh-huh. okay? The community supports each other, mm-hmm. and when you hurt one of them, you disrespect one of them, you disrespect everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to be thinking about moving forward in this movement, mm-hmm. as Black people. It doesn't matter what your experience is or what another person's experience is. Everybody has something to bring to the table. Accept it and allow for that to propel us forward, people.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Like I said, at the end of the day, like you mentioned all those isms. And it's just crazy to say we're living in a world, it's like it's on fire. No matter who you are, nobody's got a better bet than anybody at this point. And it's really times, sad. Girl. And the community, like I said, you did mention the gay community. And I can look at that from the outside looking in. The gay community sticks together a whole lot. The gay community, they
click stick up, gang, together. Gang.
I don't know. Yes. You can be any color. I remember a couple of, years ago, Mahogany, I live on the South, and they had the big Pride parade, and the venue, and I went, it was at the, and I had so much fun, and I never forget, I told my one friend, I said, it was like unicorns and bubbles. Everybody was just so happy.
Exactly. Like, happy to be who happy. They were. Yes, that's what just, happens. I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off, Ms. Holly.
No, go ahead.
Well, that's, I was just saying, yes, people are inherently happy. There is a lot of pride. And I want to backtrack a little bit because I said the gay community, but what I meant to say was the LGBTQIA+ mm-hmm. community, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you got to add that all in there. It's uh-huh. not just the gay community, but that community, our community, supports each other, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we go and we have these parades, it's because we are showing up and showing out exactly as we are, mm-hmm. you know, and not allowing for anybody to make us feel a type of way about ourselves. And so there's a lot of happiness that comes out on that day. There's a lot of pride just in general. I mean, it's always pride, but mm-hmm. you know, if I'm just gonna say, if the Black community would operate under that same mindset,
togetherness
mm-hmm. and we wouldn't be having this conversation in 2020, mm-hmm. let's be honest, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. if we stopped
judging
each other, right,
helping each other, yep. and that's what I look at it like. Times now, it's so hard. Every other culture, and not even taking it away from the conversation, but every other culture, I don't care who else besides the Black community, I see they stick together. And something about us, it's like you're afraid to stick together because you're afraid of the possibilities of maybe this person succeeding over you. Nobody ever looks to say, hey, we're all one big family, no matter what we're made up of or who we are. Let's work together and help. Like you said, prime example of what you said. And until we learn how to do that, it's going to be always kind of tough and hard for us. So again, I hope that is a prayer for everyone that's in our community as being Black folks. We have to learn how to look at situations a little differently. We have to stick together. We have to start building with one, you know.
Absolutely.
And until we can do that, then it's never going to be.
Yes, Miss Holly girl, you said it. Destroy that system. It's systematic.
Yeah.
Okay, we yep. have been conditioned to act this way and to feel this way towards mm-hmm. each other. We've been conditioned to do this for all of these years. We gotta mm-hmm. wake up. Mm-hmm. It's time to wake up, folks. No more just following
wake
like
it
blind
up.
Sheep. Wake up.
Yep, because we will get left behind. So we need to support. And that's why I'm happy that I even have this podcast, because on my podcast, I love everybody, but my main issue is to see what we have. We have so much talent in our bloodlines as people, not even what we are, but just who we are, if you get what I'm yes. saying. So we just need to really wake up and kind of just those stigmatisms. It has to go away because we're losing a lot of people. Every day we see it on the news. No matter who you are, we're losing on all ends. Kids, male, female, whatever creed, sex, race, whatever. We're losing out in our community the most.
Absolutely.
So yes, I'm glad you got that word out, and I had to get it out too, and it's needed to hear, because I'm probably going to have a lot of Black people to tune in to that want to talk about different situations. You got people that is scared to, you know, talk about certain things, and we have to learn as a people too, it's okay to talk.
Yes.
It's okay to communicate.
Amen.
And that's another thing that they're conditioned not to say nothing. And then you hide and you hide and you suffer. And then it is what it is. Absolutely. So, woo!
Girl, it's a loaded topic.
Talk about that tough stuff.
It's a loaded topic, girl. I told you I was going to bring it.
I'm glad you're bringing it. But we're going to get into some more, I guess, the spicier part of things, if you don't mind.
Girl, shake it up. Let's shake it up.
So I wanted to find out, of course, because I'm nosy myself. I'm probably one of the listeners to this show. I'm going to go back and listen myself. But I wanted to get into the dating part. So I have to ask, what is the dating life like now after you have went through your whole, like, your physical change? How does one approach the scene after now turning a new leaf? And tell me this, by me being a straight woman, I've always wanted to know. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure women who are listening do as well, because they nosy too. Have you ever dated a straight man, or is it a preference in the community?
Girl, I'm going to keep it 10 times 10. Can I keep it 10 times 10 with you?
Turn it up.
Can I keep it 100 with you?
Please, because we want to know. I know I want to know.
Let me say it clearly so the people can hear me. I have
the people
never,
in the back.
Only, I have never not dated straight men. Okay?
What?
Let that sink in. I have never not dated straight men. There may have been one or two bisexual men that slipped between the cracks, but I have never not dated.
Oh, are you serious, Mahogany? Hello?
Girl, as a heart attack, I'm dead serious. And I'm letting you know that people think that they know what a trans attractive male is. The only way that you know what a trans attractive male is that you look to your left and you look to your right and you look to your front and you look to your back. Because I guarantee you, there's one always in the room. And they could be your husband. They could be your boyfriend. They could be your best friend. They could be your cousin.
Mahogany.
They could
so
be
you're telling
anybody.
Me
okay?
You always dated straight men.
Always, because that's the only man that's ever been attracted to me, girl. You know,
I was girl, don't make me fall on my feet. So all this time, me personally, I'm thinking that it's,
girl,
like you said, I would think it was more like, this is how I would have looked at it. So if I was a trans woman, I would have felt that the trans women are dating, like, the gay men, the men that portray themselves fully, you know, as men. But no, this is how I'm thinking.
No. What is the gay man?
I don't know.
What is a gay man gonna do with me? A gay man can't do nothing but want to do my hair and
keep
me with me, girl.
Or listen to this. Or what
I'm
if I've always had this thing, has a trans woman ever dated? Is it still the same? Now, could you help me with this? What is the terminology for when a woman is turning into the male?
So we call that female to male, and they are known as
men.
Transgender men.
Has those two people date, or it's the same, or is it different too? Meaning, see,
they could very well. I mean, I know plenty of couples who are male to female transgender women and female to male transgender men, and they do date, and they are fabulous
That's
couples.
Interesting.
But also more probably. Yes, probably more or currently, you know, something occurs more in more frequency is that you will see a transgender woman who identifies with being straight or other dating a cisgender straight man. Yeah, those are most of those relationships.
See, and you learned me something new today. Because I couldn't wait. That was my most, that's probably the question I probably wanted to ask for years. I've always wanted to know. Who you dating?
Let me break it down like this, girl. Let me break it down like this. If, just like you saw me back then when we worked at Radio Shack, you thought I was a beautiful, gorgeous woman. That is what a man is seeing when he sees me. It's a beautiful, gorgeous woman, right? In my mannerisms, in my speech, in the way that I sway my hips, they are seeing that. And the reason why I be effing dudes up is because it's a study femininity. From an early age, we observe different women in our family, our friends, our family, and we're seeing everything that femininity has to, you know, that has to offer, right? And we're picking pieces of femininity and we're like, oh, we need to incorporate this. Let me incorporate that. Oh, I like how she crosses her legs like this. You know, I like how she does her makeup like this. And we're taking these bits and pieces from different women, honey. And we're
and look, wait, Mahogany. And this is what gets into the next question, because I wanted to bring up, because like I mentioned earlier on into the interview, when I first saw you, I was like, you were just so pretty. And I gave you a person to relate with. I was like, she looks like the little girl from the Bernie Mac show. And you was just, like I said, you was
girl, you used to always call me Nessa.
Yeah, that was her name, Nessa. So like you said, that's something. And I wanted to get into it because now we're living in times where we have so many different transgender women. And I wanted to ask, how does one introduce herself as a transgender woman? I've seen beautiful women such as like Laverne Cox, Janet Mock, and of course, Amaya Scott.
Yes, honey.
Amaya Scott probably was
phenomenal.
I want to say she's been out even as long as MySpace. I think she was out for a while. That girl.
She went as King Amaya Scott. Yes, absolutely. And she was the T then.
And still
she
now.
Is the T
and then
now.
Back to like that. Yes. They're all gorgeous women. And there is no way, if they probably had not come out, nobody would have known the difference anyway. So my question is, how do you approach a male? Well, you kind of told me in the last question, but when you approach a male that is, a straight male, how do you go about letting them know who you are? You know, because of course, like you said, they're going to be physically attracted to what they see. But eventually, if it goes further, they're going to have to know who you are. So how?
Yeah, girl, they're gonna get the kibbles and bits, honey, of it all.
Oh,
if they stick around long enough. But let's make this clear. Mm-hmm. I don't approach men. Never have really approached men. Men have always approached me. Mm-hmm. Let that sink in, okay? Mm-hmm. So when I am approached by a man, you know, this was back when I was single, because I am in a very happy
relationship. I saw.
Yes, I have been with him.
Something new. You ever seen that movie, Something New, before?
Something. Ooh, girl. But you know, my man is biracial, girl. He's Hispanic. So it is that, but then it's also not that at the same time, you know. Uh-huh. And his family has a Caribbean background from Martinique.
Wow.
Right? So, and he speaks fluent French and English.
Oh, baby.
Get oui, into oui. That.
Oui, Perry.
Okay. So, understood. Uh-huh. I couldn't just have someone that was just average. All right.
Uh-huh. Oh no.
And so he is a phenomenal man in his own right, and I am so happy to call myself his partner and co-parent to his two young girls.
Wow.
So that's been my life for the past 2.5 years, and you know, so much has changed, you know, about how I go about like my day to day. But you know, to go back to your question, you know, I've always, you know, I can't say, because you know, back in them Radio Shack days, I was dipping it and doing it. I'm not gonna lie. You know, so every guy that I did date or have an encounter with, I didn't always tell them that I was trans up front. But you know, I would, because the thing is, think about it this way. If you had $1 million in the bank, right? And you were going on dates with people, and you know, it's just, you're a wealthy person, but you don't lead with that and tell somebody that you got $1 million in the bank, because if they from St. Louis, they try to get a quick come up on you. Okay.
So might rob you.
They might rob you.
Yeah.
So there are certain things that are personal and that are crucial about a person that they sometimes they have to keep with them until they figure out if you're worth their time. And that was just what I was doing back then. I didn't want to tell everybody my tea, because you know, St. Louis, you know, where travels is a very small but big city. So I didn't want my business all out there. So I would only entrust that information with a guy that I thought was really going to be something, you know, and I didn't always have the best judgment, but at the same time, you know, I vetted these men. Okay. Know that. Mm-hmm. Know that when I was going on dates and, you know, when they was coming and wanting to talk to me at Radio Shack and stuff like that, I was vetting them, trying to see if they were going to be open to what I had to share, my full being, not just what I was allowing for them to see. I needed to be able to know if I could trust them with that information. And because you can't just be going around telling everybody about.
Yes. Yes. This leads into the next subject matter too, because what you're saying is so true. You know, people who live outside of St. Louis City or county, they will never understand how crucial that is. And it's just so much violence. So it's survival. To put yourself in a predicament. And the reason why I ask that is because, of course, not getting into your business, but it's just the point, how does one, you know, let somebody know? Because, of course, there's always that stigma. You know how it's so many quote unquote straight men that is so against, you know, whatever, but come to find out, it's a lot of men that are hiding, you know, behind what they say in the closet. They're not coming up with their real selves. And when they get caught, then there goes the problem. Because now they're ready to act out because they're afraid of their reputation or somebody else finding out. And that's what I kind of wanted to get into. That's kind of leading to the next topic of the gray area of it. Due to, in the past couple, I want to say, even with all this stuff going on, I saw online, it was horrible. A transgender woman was at a gas station, and the men were jumping on her. And she was a beautiful looking at her. She looked like, you know, she was just so, like I said, I just look at the look of it. And she was just so pretty, but they were beating on her. And of course, we've had other stories where a lot of women have lost their lives. With violence. So in this case, I think people are afraid to talk about that and the violence against the trans women. And in the last 3 weeks, we have lost a few trans women to violence. And we have seen, you know, videos online constantly of them being attacked. How does this make you feel when you see like such things happening? Does it make you feel differently about your choice?
It makes me really sad to know that, you know, we're still at this point where we have accepted the things about ourselves and just each other within the community to the point where, you know, we're still hearing these tragic stories about what's going on with these women. And it's just really, really sad, you know. We did a protest yesterday called the Cycle for Life protest. It was put on by an amazing, when I say amazing, group of people that I have the pleasure to be associated with by the name of Love and Life. And the highlight of the event was Black trans lives, because, you know, what we didn't really touch on was the fact that these killings are being done by usually Black men who are, you know, cisgender Black men, appearingly or assuming to be hetero, okay? Mm. And they're not just men that these women are the street all the time, you know? And I'm going to tell you this. This is going to be something that the people are probably not going to want to hear and digest it well, but it's true tea, is that these men know ahead of time. Mm. They know. They always want to say it's this trans panic defense. That's BS. Mm-hmm. These men know up front that these women are transgender when they engage with them, however they engage with them, whether that be sexually, romantically, mentally, whatever that is, they are knowing these things up front, and only until after they have the sexual experience, they get their little something off, where they kind of snap back to reality, and then now they all of a sudden they feel like their manhood is threatened.
Uh-huh. And then that's what's leading up to...
And that's leading up to the murders and all of... Because it's the internalized oppression, girl. They're not accepting that there is something within them that can be, has the potential to be attracted to these individuals without it challenging too much of their norms.
Wow. That's deep. And I can honestly, I can say I can agree with that. Because why would you just be killing these women? What are you hiding that you feel, like I said, you're hiding. At the end of the day, you're hiding who your true self really is.
Yes.
And it's just something. And then people are losing their lives. Just like I would say, comparing it to women that die from domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're victims of men who they want to control them, or they feel overpowered. You know, it's something there that's causing them to strike a match and, you know, kill. So the same difference, you know, you're hiding. So you figure if I kill or I hurt, that takes away. You know, who you really. That the men that are doing that, I feel like as a straight woman, you owe us, you owe us as straight women to come out too and let us know, because that's not fair. Live in your true self. If you want to do that, go ahead. But like I said, again,
well, girl, I'm gonna tell you this. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off again. I'm gonna tell you this,
you know, but I feel like,
because we can say this about these men, and to say that you want for them to tell you that they have the ability to be trans attracted, or they have dated trans women in the past, you have to foster an environment in a home where they can feel comfortable and not feel judged for them to come out with that information, because you can't expect for someone to be vulnerable with you if they know that they're going to be vulnerable with someone who's going to judge them or make them feel less than.
And that leads back to how Black community, I want to speak on that. That leads back to how they look as, if you do this, that's not right. You do this, that's not right. So when you get up to the relationship end, you're expecting so much, and you're expecting, you know, certain things. But even still, Mahogany, I still feel that, even that, be comfortable enough. If that's,
okay,
if I'm not who you're supposed to be with, live in your true self. Don't hide. And I'm speaking on the men too that are closeted, meaning they want to live in it. Who says you can have your cake and eat it too? Give us our rights too.
Again, it goes back to me saying that you have to like, these women have to, Black women specifically, because I'm gonna just be honest, the Beckys is accepting the Black men who have the capacity to be attracted to different genders and things. Okay, and so you know, that's a whole nother topic to why the Beckys are taking. We're gonna come back, so that'll be another topic. But
we're gonna come back.
Black women, as Black women, we have to be accepting and nurturing to the point where we are allowing for these men to be honest about their attractions, because the true tea is that yes, a man can be trans attracted, and he can also be cis attracted to cisgender women. They can be the same. Right. I mean, it's not the same attraction, but you can have a person, and I'm gonna tell you this: the straight men that I have dated, have only primarily dated transgender women. They date cisgender women as well too, because the attraction is the femininity, it's the feminine energy that they are attracted to. Okay, so they have the capacity to be attracted to cisgender women.
Yeah.
They have the ability to be attracted to transgender women as well, because it's the femininity that they're attracted to, what in whatever form that it presents itself. That is what we need to get down to as people, because we need to start looking at things on a more spiritual, energetic level, because we are all individuals that have energy radiating throughout us. Okay. And so that energy is something that we are picking up on as we are meeting people. Right. And so as you're picking up on this energy, then you know it's something about it that mm-hmm. is attractive to you, but it may not come into a form that you're used to. Let that sink in. Right? So as Black women, we have to be fostering mm-hmm. of these men who have Woo! These varying attractions yeah. because I'ma just keep it real with you, whether they want to admit it or not. Y'all do it all the time to the dudes. I've been hearing y'all do it all the time to where you will be with a man, girl, where you'll be with a man and you maybe it's your boyfriend. What or we do, like Mahogany? That, and you'll show a picture of a beautiful transgender goddess to him and say, "Ooh, do you think this is a man or a woman? Can you tell?"
Oh, I've seen some things. Me personally, I can't say I do it because I think, like, at the end of the day, I'm an open book just like you are. And I just, at the end of the day, my thing is, I feel like in the whole, whether who you want to date or whatever, just be honest, be upfront. And again, like you said, it all goes to show on the levels. But I think what happens with us as Black women, say, for instance, if they do have a man and he comes out and he does something like that, that, mm-hmm. that hurts us.
It hurts everybody.
I'm speaking on being, you know, who I am. That hurts us. That hurts us to know that, yeah, you know, it hurts the other person. Just think, you're in a relationship, you got two different lives, and you're putting this family in one life, and you got another person in another situation. I'm saying be honest. Be honest. I don't care what you do. Be honest. Give us that right.
Girl, yeah, it's a lot of... Yes, it's a lot of women who are knowingly in relationship
with
men who they are aware and have accepted that they can have varying attractions of people of different genders. And let me tell you, they're much happier for it because they're not negating the fact that this is the thing. We put each other in so many boxes, okay? To say that men have to act this way. Men have to be this way. They mm-hmm. have to talk like this. They have to walk like this. There's so many pressures that people have to conform to a certain template of an individual, a man or and here's the reason why men are going to trans women and are in relationship with trans women is because trans women are accepting of all of those parts. The parts of you that is inherently masculine and those that are feminine. And we're not saying, oh, you a punk, you a sissy, you a faggot or whatever mm-hmm. for that. We're saying that we are accepting all of as you are. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you can operate from that standpoint,
that's a tough one.
It's some cisgender mm-hmm. women out there that's hearing me on this. Some Black women, I know they out there who understand what I'm saying because they know it to be true. You know, mm-hmm. how many times cisgender Black women caught mm-hmm. their men dealing with transgender women or have found out that they have been with transgender women in their past? How many times? I guarantee you, if they was being honest, your inbox would probably mm-hmm. be overflowing. It should.
It probably will after today. Because this is a topic that may come back. You know, I know after we talk about this, it's going to be a lot of women, maybe men, who may have questions. So I definitely would want to do a part two just to continue on the topic. Just to, you know, give the exposure, because I feel like in the community, we don't get communication. We don't get enough of. We learn to keep things to ourselves and not to express ourselves. And you're giving some good key points.
Yes.
Because like I said, I can only look at it from the outside and being who I am, you know, and you're who you are and whoever else is listening. And it's just something, you know, just to find out. And I guess my thing was, at the end of the day, and it's just to each his own, your opinion is your opinion. When it comes to that, even still with the communication, if you're listening to this show and you are a male and listening to Mahogany and you feel like, hey, I might need to, how come can they go and step up and say, hey, we need to sit down and have a conversation. I need to let you know some things. And then if you're a woman and you're listening and you get that conversation brought to you, you have to be able to handle that and decide what you're going to do.
Listen, because black women, sometimes we do a whole lot of talking. We don't do a lot of listening. We need to listen to what that man is saying, what he's trying to get across to you. Because if you listen and if you provide the home where he can be honest, I guarantee you there'll be a lot less infidelity. There'll be a lot less secrets and a lot less hurt people. Because when peep game, when these men are going and having these relations with transgender women, a lot of the times they are being dishonest with us as well too about them being in relationships. Okay, we don't set out to wreck homes and date men who are attached to other women. I know I've never played that game. I don't want no man that's attached to another woman or another individual, period. I want one that is for me. I don't want to share. I'm an Aries. I don't feel like I need to do that. Okay? And
look, I'm a Libra. I definitely don't want to share. I'm just saying, and with that being said, just give everybody in a situation needs to be upfront. Be true to yourself. Be open. And like I said, if it's me, I'll use me as an example, and I'll be honestly true. If I was in a relationship with a man and he came and told me that, my personal, I'm not going to be with you. I feel like I'm not going to give you what you're looking for. And this is just me as my own self. But at least we're on the table. You gave me the opportunity. We've talked, and we have to agree to do what we have to do. And then, like you said, there's going to be some that are more that may be acceptable. That's my, my baby daddy. That's my husband. I wish I would throw this 25-year relationship out the window. You got people that can't, so they're going to live with that. But be able to know what you're getting into. Don't hide from a person. Don't do that. And that's the thing, and what I always wanted to look at and find out, you know, talking with you too.
Yeah,
you know,
people need to understand.
It's
It hurts everybody involved. It hurts you
because that can hurt a lot of people
who is involved in relationship with this man. It hurts the man because he isn't being honest with himself, and he's hurting other people in his life, and it's hurting us as a transgender woman that he's involved with, because he's not being honest with us as well. And then when he decides that he's done with us and he's discarded us, you know, and has and done all the little things that he wanted to do and lived every fantasy with us, then he ditches us. And
now it's hurt. Exactly. Yeah. And then that's when it gets down to this, where it gets down to somebody gets hurt because they want to hide. And that's what we need to stop. The prevention is, because either it could be on either end, as being a transgender woman or just a woman in general. If a man snaps, that man can tell his wife, I've been doing this, and that lady can say, I'm leaving. He can snap and kill her. Or the same difference, he said, oh, I can't do this no more, and he snap and kill the other one. Girl. You know, be honest. Be honest. And we have in therapy, therapy is a big deal. Like I said, I'm advocating for mental health for my upcoming project. And that's a lot of things. You got to get out there and you have to talk to somebody. Because sometimes you can't even, you might not be able to sit with your partner or your person you're with and say, hey, look, I'm going through this. I got to tell you this. Because a lot of times people are not going to be understanding. Your friends and family is not going to be understanding. Your person you're in a relationship is not going to be understanding. So you need to get some other type of help. Get into programs. There's tons of them. Get into talking to a therapist to talk it out, to find out what steps you need to take. Because too many lives are physically being hurt, mentally too, you know. But when it comes to deaths and bodies being away because you can't figure out what you want to
be,
then that's the problem. And that's the problem I'm looking at for the whole of it. When you can't be who you are and you got to die because of a opinion or option you have, then there's something wrong. You need to find out.
Being true to yourself.
So, yeah. Ooh, baby.
People need to.
Mahogany.
It gets
deep. It gets deeper. It gets deeper. And as we continue to talk, even to up with the recently, I want to get into this before I
girl,
keep you on.
Girl, we can
I
talk.
Keep you on for 8 hours. But we have, I just want to have a brief moment for the lives that were recently lost. June 13th, we had Raya Milton. And I want to say her name is Ramey Fales.
Her name is Dominique Remy Fields. Rhea Milton. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And they both were killed in the community. One was killed, they said, apparently mm-hmm. was in a robbery, and mm-hmm. also was ruled as a homicide with no leads. And also, it's just crazy because can you even, as we talking to the injustice that's going on in the world, we had a lot of men that were killed by law recently. But I think when it comes to, it was a lot of
Breonna
women,
Taylor.
Black say her women, name, girl. Breonna Taylor. The other young lady that was killed. Yes, Breonna Taylor. And then our other young lady that was killed recently too, by a black man from a protest. I feel like, including the other two women too, we don't get that same justice and outcry when it's our lives. And I just want to know, how do you feel being in that community too? Do you feel like the law takes it serious? Because I feel like as a black woman, nobody's taking the deaths of black women dying. I mean, living in St. Louis, bringing on back to here. I worked in the ER for years, and I've seen a lot of women's bodies come in from senseless crimes. I've had friends that were murdered by their person that they were with. And I just don't think we get that same outpour, outcry. We don't get those marches. We don't get the same support from everyone when it comes to a woman, a black woman, losing
it's
her
the
lives,
overall
no matter
value.
Who or what. And I just wanted to see how you feel about that with the system, with these two women that recently lost their lives. How do you feel in the community? Do you feel like they're not doing anything about this?
I'm going to put it this way. And I just want to go back to our previous conversation about people. Mm-hmm. People need to accept the fact that everybody is not for you when it comes to dating, okay? When it comes to relationship, not everybody is meant for you, and that is okay. So that's just that part, and we can leave that there. But to speak about the topic that you just brought up about these women mm-hmm. losing their lives, you have to look at it this way. And I want to give a shout out to a commemoration to another young lady. She was 17 years old. Her name was Brayla Stone, and she just died just a couple days ago. She was found killed, a transgender woman, mm-hmm. a black transgender woman, Brayla Stone. Mm. Okay, so may she rest in power. So you have to look at the hierarchy of how this society is, right? The very, very, very top, who you have,
mm-hmm.
White men. To be more specific, okay, you have white men, white men, white passing men, then you have men of color that's not black, okay, and then you have the black men, or I'm sorry, mm-hmm. nope, then you have white mm-hmm. women, they write up under. I would probably say men of color, you know, they probably write up under there. And then you have black men, right? Mm-hmm. Under black men, mm-hmm. you have black women. Mm-hmm. And then under black women, you have people at the intersections of both black transgender women, right? So if you're looking at the pyramid mm-hmm. and how that mm-hmm. works, then you understand that as it goes down, further down the pyramid, there's less value on these lives, right? So, of course, there's not mm-hmm. much as much of an outcry and a concern about black women dying, because
and that's a problem.
We don't value black lives at all, and we don't value black women enough. Black men don't value black women enough. White men, other people don't. The black woman is one of the most disvalued people on earth. Period. Yes.
Said by who? Was it Malcolm X? Mm-hmm. It's sad. And it's so sad. It's so sad. And I feel like a lot of times black women, we don't get love. I mentioned something on my Twitter. I was like, you know how hard it is to be a black woman, to be somebody, first of all, people mock black women. A lot of people want to be the culture. you know, working in corporate America, being a black woman, we have to get beat because of who we are, what we look like, even being in a job, you know. Then you got to think about the black men. Do they love us as much as, you know, as we think okay. they should? Especially when the black mothers are carrying black sons. And these black sons grow up and they go on their way, meaning, hey, to each his own, who you want to love, that's who you want to. But just remember that we are here. Our lives are not like fleas and mosquitoes, and they're just plucking us away, you know, and nobody's caring. And I just wanted, I had got so upset on my Twitter. I made a video.
Yes.
I said, hey, do we need to have a million woman march where we come together? That a black woman is known to be angry all the time. Black women are known to be loud. This is the time in 2020 to be loud about who you are, because at the end of the day, as you mentioned, how it trickles down to who's the most important down to the least.
Absolutely.
If we don't stick together as well, you know, we're not going to make either. We're going to go hard for ourselves. We're going to go hard because it's in our nature. Our nature is to fight back.
Exactly.
Because we get so much that comes against us. We have to fight back. And I feel like a lot of other cultures don't understand that. We're put up under way bigger stressors. Like I said, the timeline went in about, black men yes. got to deal with the law, and the black men got to do black yeah. women.
And although,
do you yes. know what it's like to be a black woman?
Although we may not be the
woman,
ones always getting pulled over tough. By the police and racially profiled, because, right?
Or it happens in your job. I had to seek counseling because of who I am, you know, and you have to smile and grit and take whatever is dished out to you at times, you know. So the injustice may not happen to us where we're being killed on the street, but it's happening in other places. It's stopping us from being able to live and become who we can be as great people. And that's the issue. So I want all the black women, whether you're trans black woman or a regular black woman, a new upcoming black woman, we need to stick together and learn how to love each other and figure out what
absolutely.
We need to do to support. 100%. Because we don't have support of nobody else. At the end of the day, everybody else has support. Everybody of every culture is out there marching yes. for Black Lives Matter. All kinds of people. But when it came to Breonna Taylor, when it came to that other young lady, I want to say her name
yeah.
is Anika, the other black lady that was killed at the protest, who was actually out at the protest.
Ain't that crazy?
To defend a black
Ain't
man, and a black man killed her.
Yes.
And there's no outcry.
Ugh,
there's
girl.
No outcry for her. There's no big, her, where's her big funeral? Where's her big, her college trust fund for somebody coming up after her? That wasn't a grown woman. That was a teen.
Right.
She was a young person, you know. Where's the same outcry? Where's the same people behind her? She was out to, she could have been the next Angela Davis. We need that same respect. And I got on the black men too. I said, hey, fellas, y'all got to step
yes.
up for us too. There's women out there getting tased for you. There's women out there getting put in jail, walking out there in those protests. Be out there for the black
okay,
women
because.
Too.
Yeah,
but like you said,
the way that we see it, you know, and even think about that as a black trans woman, how I'm feeling, because I'm feeling how you feeling as a black one, right? But then there's another layer to it
mm-hmm.
as being a black transgender woman, right? Because you're right, they mm-hmm. not out there marching for just cisgender black women, so they definitely ain't that out there marching for me, okay? Because mm-hmm. they won't even admit mm-hmm. to the fact that they have relations with women like
Enough.
Me. So
yeah.
going out to a march to support a woman who lost her life for someone that you wouldn't even admit that you were in relationship with at some point. No, and it puts us in a position where we're like, oh, okay. So, the cop's knee on your neck today, and then your knee on my neck tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's deep.
Like, how are we supposed to feel?
That's deep. Yeah. And that's how I felt those couple of days ago. I didn't care. I got on. I said, come on, you know, wake up. Where's the outcry? Every time some injustice thing happened with a black man, The men are on that timeline. They out, they ready. But when it's us, are we not important? We are the ones that bring you forth.
No, if it wasn't for here. A black nobody.
Woman, if you're a black
the
male,
black woman, the black nobody, woman is the yeah. beginning of life, the center of civilization. Know that. So if you are not protecting black women, then your existence is doomed to fail, honey. It's doomed to fail.
It's coming short. Yeah. And me, like I said, I'm a lover of everybody. And when I say this, I mean, you're welcome to love and be with who you are. But just remember, where you come from, too. You don't have to be with us. Like I said, some that don't want to be with us. That's fine.
Everybody.
Hey, I like my preference. Yep, you got your preference. Everybody has their preference. But know that our lives is just as important. And my thing is, I want to be able to start. I want to get into that proxy of creating a Million Woman March. I mentioned it, and I had a lot of supporters on Twitter saying, hey, let us know. Due to COVID, the biggest fight in the world, that was our biggest fight. That's
not stop,
a lot of
honey.
Great things
just
to happen,
delay.
But it
just
doesn't
delay.
Stop when you can petition. Petition. I want a million black women to sign a petition to stand together for those lives of Breonna Taylor and many other
yep.
women that have
put
lost
it into
their fruit, lives,
fruit,
trans
fruition,
or not.
Girl. Put,
you
it,
know,
put it into manifestation.
It's
because
needed.
It can happen. I'm I promise you, it can happen. If you want a Million Woman March, then a Million Woman March is what we shall have. Let it be.
It's gonna
so
be.
It should
be. Yep, we will have it. Yes, it's needed because we need to step. Like they say, black women are always angry. Well, we got a reason to be angry, but we'll come in peace. Like you said, you remember you mentioned some key points earlier in this conversation. You said, hey, it's all about how you walk, how you present yourself, how you speak, how you sway. Our stuff doesn't have to be where we're getting tased. No, a bunch of beautiful women coming together. And you don't even have, you can be a woman of another ethnic background. Come out and support. Because at the end of the day, like I mentioned, hey, it's some interracial lives and interracial relationships too. Have that same support for that man that you're dealing with. Deal with his sister and his mother and aunts when it comes to these situations too. Because you're out there for other situations. Be there for us too. And we should be out there for you. Because one thing about a black woman,
okay,
they don't put that out. Black women will give you the shirt off their back. A real black woman, they are lovers. They are the ones that nurture. Anybody can go and have back in the slavery times, I bet that nanny or whoever, you know, the house slave, the mom or whoever, and when them babies cry, they can give that black mother that baby, and she would take care of them baby like it was her baby. So have that same love for us, because black women, we do have love. We just go through so much. And until they understand this, we're going to continue to get treated like this. And I don't want to be treated like that, you know. I want us to be able to have our lives as a black woman in America, as you stepping forth as a black trans woman in America. Whoever's coming up after us will be able to look back and say, hey, these women were in my view, and I can be somebody. I am the prize, and I can stand up for what's right, and I can stand. And however it takes you out, like I said, those women that all have lost their lives that we mentioned, they're in a better place, and their lives will leave a legacy, no matter how
you better say that. That part. Their lives do not go unappreciated, and we will use their energy to propel us forward, moving towards the future. Mm-hmm. We have to. And you know, I want to say this, too, is that as Black women, whether you're cisgender or transgender, if we could come together and say that, yo, I see you, sis, I support you, and many of my cis allies as of women of color have come to tell me. I have an amazing woman just come to me yesterday after I was at the protest to let me know, I see you, sis, I understand your struggle, sis, I feel you, sis, I support you, sis. If we could do that, which just among each other, then we can get these black men on board. Okay. Woo!
If black women can start coming together as harshly as we come against each other, because that's
day.
Another elephant in the room for another day. But we can start supporting each other right now on the internet. I have these two trends going. You got to get on Twitter. You got to promise you make a Twitter. But I have a group called the Beard Collectors. And then the guys, I call them the Beard of Hoochies. And within what I have been doing, it is so much fun because I'm getting tons and tons of people. But to bring it back, I started the Beard Collector Movement to bring together women. And when I say we've been having fun, I mean, we've had sponsors where men have cashed up these women lunch money. One guy cashed up a girl $100. I'm doing things monthly to show love. You know, a lot of times, I want to say this, people can look at you and say, oh, she's pretty. I don't like her. I won't support her. I won't do this with her.
Because you're insecure.
I'm offended about who she is. You don't know the story behind me. You don't know the story behind Mahogany. So until we can learn how to come together, like you said, sis, I see you. I see all my sis that follow me on the Twitter timeline and sometimes on Facebook when I get on. But it's all about showing love and being there. I want to be able to say, I don't want you to dislike me and not support me and help me in times because you don't know my life. You don't know my journey. So don't hate me. You know, let's come together, Black women. If you are listening, come together. It's not about who you are physically, because any one of us can clock out
just
off
like
this
that
earth real quick. And that shell is gone forever. Nope. You can't hate me when I'm in the ground. So if we learn to love each other, become a togetherness before we become a hashtag. Let's not become a hashtag before you can say, oh, I support her. Oh, I love her. No, we need to build each other up so that we don't have, we have not too many hashtags coming. It's not going to stop. But I'm glad we kind of touched on that too, because like I mentioned, looking at you, beautiful woman. Looking at me, people see how they
beautiful
see.
Beautiful woman.
See.
Phenomenal.
And a lot of times
woman.
We don't get women supporting us because they are intimidated sometimes. And not saying it like that, but they can be. And that stops us from becoming who we are. So then when stuff like this happens, when they're out there killing us, we can't even run to each other because we're afraid. We're afraid. So that needs to stop. We need to work and build on being better.
Yes, being better
women
allies.
Together, you know. Because even in other cultures, they stick together. Honey, it'll be them against you. It'll be four of them against you. And we, and then one of you will go against with them. And that just shows the division.
Sisterhood,
you know,
is
so
the vision. Sisterhood.
It's tough, you know. That's the whole vision. That's, and I'm pushing it. Every month, I'm sending two women a t-shirt. Two t-shirts that I'm getting made. I love Bearded Hoochies. That's a t-shirt. They're going to, the proceeds will be going towards my resource center that I'm planning
yes,
to open.
Yes, Ms. Holly.
So I got some good things coming. But like I said, I want the support. Yes, I want us all. I want you to be able to come when you're in town, or maybe
I would love that.
Come to your city.
Yes.
And that people can have a resource to come and find out what they need to do, because there's going to be a lot of people coming up. And we don't have enough places to help. Where do I go to get, you know, treatment? Where do I go to find out? If we had a person for each thing that we had a need for in our community, oh, we'll be booming.
The B's and E's will be us, okay? We just have to stick by each other.
Yes.
And if we can stick by each other and say, just as simple as, I mean, I do it every day. I see a Black woman, and I have to be honest, I live in Sonoma County, so I don't see very many Black women on a day-to-day basis because it is a very whitewashed area.
Uh-huh.
But every time I see a Black woman, I say, I acknowledge her. I say either, hey, sis, hi, beautiful, you know, get, you know, you can't really see a smile behind this mask now, but I'm always, you can smile with your
but
eyes
you can smile with your eyes.
Say, how's your day going? I'm always uplifting the women around me. If you are around Mahogany, I want you to feel that you have left with something that you did not have before you met me.
Before, and that's how I feel with me being who I am. I want to spread love. I love. I have a heart for everybody. I have my ways, but at the end of the goal mission is to make sure that everybody is okay. And like I said, with me starting the whole little trim with the Beard Collectors and the Bearded Hoochie Association, it's just been so great because I've had women say, "Hey, I was having a tough time. Thank you." you know, for acknowledging me or doing this. We don't have enough people doing that. Imagine if we had tons of people doing that. Just the love. Love alone builds. It brings better energy. You know, so that's something that we need to continue to support no matter who you are, what you
we
are.
We need some more.
That's something we need to keep going.
Black girl magic. Yes, honey. We need some more of that. We need it.
Mahogany, you have been so much fun. I ain't gonna keep you too long. I got a few more questions and then I'm gonna let you enjoy.
Girl, I am having such a good time sitting down and chatting with you, girl.
This is probably, I want to say, this is my longest podcast. And it was such a
make record.
Yes, it is. It is my longest. Yes, you did. I don't know who's going to break it. It might have to be one of them celebrities, but they will have to be the one to top this. And I don't think they can because it was just such a treat. Because, like I said, I've known you since teen.
Yes.
And I'm
same.
Well over teens now. So it was just good to finally get this conversation because I will say I've always wanted to know. And like I said, before I knew anything, I just took you for who you was and I enjoyed who you was. You were something else back in the day. And then when we finally had the talk, you opened up to me and I knew who you were, but that still didn't change anything. It just was like,
I know. You? I know. People are so befuddled when they first hear it, so, right? And they're like, wait, I wasn't expecting that, right? And so then your mind has to go back and you probably think about all the different times that I didn't probably drop little nuggets here and there about, and it's, and then it all just kind of comes together. And you're like, ooh, you know what?
Yeah.
I've always known this. I just didn't know that I knew this, right?
No. Yeah. And I feel like the dialogue, I feel like, and you mentioned a word and I want you to kind of redirect it too, just so the people out there, you mentioned cisgender. Cisgender.
So we have to start seeing, we have to start seeing things differently. Not, you can't lump sex and gender into the same boat. There's two different things, two different aspects of a person. A person's sexuality is who they want to go to bed with, who they're interested in going to bed with, who they've been getting in bed with, okay? And someone's gender is how they feel about themselves inside, how they feel, you know, the type of energy that they feel like they're most drawn to. That determines a person's gender, right? And so when I use the word cisgender, cis, if you just look at the root word cis, that is the same. So it's belonging to the sex that you were born, right? So if you're cisgender, then you closely align with the gender that matched up with the sex that you were born with. Everything is aligned. That's what cisgender means, right? But when you're transgender, then you may have a sexual organ down there that doesn't necessarily represent how you feel on the inside about yourself. Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you got that out the way because I wanted to make sure the listeners, they're understanding. And I'm just so grateful that you decided to have this conversation. It's going to be spread in amongst, you know, so that people can hear. And it's nothing new. Like I said, now we're living in times with my cat probably, baby daddy. No, I got to call my dog a cat. My dog's cat, baby daddy might be a cat in a few years. Who knows? We're just living in those times. So before I let you go, I just want to get into a few more things and then we'll...
Okay,
we'll
I am truly enjoying the conversation, Ms. Holly, so we can keep going as long as you want to.
I'm so happy to have you, and I'm just so happy to have you on because, like I said, it's just like talking to somebody and to see how the years have just flew by. It's just something just to see where you're going. You got a lot of big things ahead, and I think you're going to be a great voice for the community, and you're gonna be this your first, I guess, interview with me as I continue
isn't it
my
beautiful
journey. So
it just
I'm
comes
just so
full circle because we met
happened.
Each other and we were after. Drawn to each other when we first met. You know, we had some differences. You know, we were kind of doing like this catty thing, like, you know, from time to time, just because we're two very strong presences,
girls,
right? Your whole vibe is like just amazing, out of this world, phenomenal woman. Right. And then you have me, and you know, I'm thank just you. Like that, you know, and I'm unapologetic about myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, baby. Mahogany. Did you not hear me say you was a Beverly Hills girl dipped in chocolate that somehow looked like Nessa with long, radiant red hair out your scalp? I was wearing weaves. Not saying I was
girl, you know, that was.
I mean, you was just yes, flawless. That was really what was good. I loved everything about you because it was just perfect. It was just too good. And when I look
girl,
at
that's
you,
what
she's
was
too good
me
to
in there, girl. No,
she's too good to
that
be.
Was
true.
That thing, girl. That,
but you are who you are. That never changed. You just
her,
kept
girl,
getting better
me
and better.
How they are with her. Yes, ma'am. All the time.
Nails stayed done. Keychain. Cars. Oh, baby, I think you had a new car once a month. I'm messing. You was just flawless, and I enjoyed knowing you and learning who you were, and I'm still gonna, as long as these years keep me, I'm gonna have to come
okay.
out to California because I got friends.
Well,
I
you gotta
to
come
California,
out again, girl. We have to, you know, we gotta have, I wanna
that was
really,
a while
really,
back.
Really get a girl's but, trip together where I bring
that's it,
all
but,
of my favorites
yes.
out here to the and we have us a little
tablet. Let's sign me up. Ooh,
girl, let's put it out there, girl. Women's retreat.
Yeah.
Women's retreat. Yes, women's retreat.
Yeah. Look, now when COVID, look, I got all the events that I'm putting together because it's some brunches and different things. We have to learn how to do some great things. The sky's the limit. So before I let you go, I want you, before you leave,
yes.
I want you to share
this
a piece. Oh, you mentioned that you wanted to share
oh, you let me know.
With the listeners. Do we still have time for that?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So this
you,
is
no, do you?
Wrote,
it's up to you. Because I wanted to know what this was.
For our protest that we did the other Cycle for Life protest. This was in honor of the Black trans women and Black queer lives whose lives go unnoticed, uncared about, you know, and undervalued, mm-hmm. right? And so I wrote this piece in honor of myself as a woman within this mm-hmm. identity and in honor of the women who still stand and who are phenomenal mm-hmm. as they are, the Laverne Coxes of the world, the Rhea Miltons of the world, Janet Mock, just all of them, okay? India Moore. So I wrote this piece to honor just women in general, women, Black trans women, Black cisgender women, and this is in honor of them. So I can share it whenever you're ready. Okay. So the title of this piece is called I Am.
I'm ready.
I am my ancestors' wildest dreams, a manifestation of their prayers and rituals to preserve our culture. I am not your slave nor your criminal. I am an empress and a queen. I am not your whitewashed religion that was forced upon my people as a means to control, divide, and conquer. I am voodoo, hoodoo, and everything that you wish you could do. I am not your whore to be raped and then discarded. I am worthy of the utmost respect. I am not your fetish or an experiment to manipulate. I am a loyal partner and I deserve companionship. I am not your mammy or your comforter. I am enough, despite you and in spite of you. I am not your faggot, sissy, he, she, or nigga bitch. I am divine and beautifully designed with purpose. I'm not confused about who I am. I am living, breathing embodiments of duality. I am not your abomination or sin to cast out. I am the traditions that you were conditioned to suppress. I am not the monster you should be hiding from your children. I am a nurturer and I am a healer. I am not a victim awaiting the slaughter. I am strength, determination, and resilience. I am not a secret that you can hide. I am a reflection of the truth within that you refuse to accept. I am not the evil that you proclaim me to be. Oh no, I am love and I am light. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Miss Holly.
When the book coming out. I love it. That was beautiful. And I'm glad you shared that. And I feel like that piece alone, that's going to be ran back by a lot of people that need to hear that.
Yes, we all thank you so much for having me. Oh my gosh, it's been a pleasure.
That you came on, Mahogany, and you shared your story. This is probably one of my favorite ones. My dog, she just woke up. She's not even, she didn't bark. So I know this was amazing. Mocha normally makes an intro. So I'm just so grateful again. And before I let you go, could you leave a message to the world, to someone who is currently probably struggling, just in general? What would be your piece of advice for someone to just keep going?
That, honey, I know that it may seem like times are dark right now, but the light is ahead, and you just have to remember always to be yourself inherently, how you feel that you are, and know that you are beautiful, and you are designed with a purpose. You have a purpose, and we just need to have people to support each other. If we could have more support of just how someone is, even if they are different than you, learn their story, find value in it, because I guarantee you there are some there.
I'll take that. Thank you so much. And before I let you go, Mahogany, it's been so beautiful. Where could the listeners, because I'm pretty sure you're going to have new fans following you, where could they find you on social media? Do you got any sites that we can also follow you on? How could they find you to get to know you personally? They may want to talk to you on another
level. Yes, and they can feel free to find me on Instagram at mahogany_girl, that's G-A-L, so Mahogany Girl. You can find me on IG there. You can also find me on YouTube, because I got a YouTube channel. I started that a couple months ago. You can find me on there as Mahogany Girl as well. And then I will be making a Twitter soon, so I'll make sure I send you that information. Girl, Holly been trying to get me to use Twitter.
That is your homework from me to you. Please make a Twitter, because people are going to want to know you. They're going to want to know more about you. And I feel like Twitter, we're on a lot of apps. YouTube is one big portal. Twitter is where you want to be. Twitter is where you want to share your YouTubes and all that great stuff. So please make it so that we can continue, because I'm on there more than I'm not due to just the world. I love people. So I get more out of Twitter than everything. So I definitely want you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you again, Mahogany, for taking time out of your day, of your Sunday. Again, yes, I gotta girl, have you back on, because I know it's probably gonna be some talks after people listen to this. So we'll have a chance to chat it back up on some other things, and hopefully to see you soon. You stay hold safe out there in California. I'm gonna try to stay and hold it down so in much. STL.
Thank
you. But no worries. Thank you. Only the strongest survive. And that's it.
Love you,
that's the tweet. Bye. The Holly Show STL. Thank you.